Hi, this is Tiffany the Last, and I'm calling Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and I'm on the phone with Michelle of Fat Thumb Originals. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there, Tiffany.
People all over, join hands.
Can you tell our listeners why you started Fat Thumb Originals?
Well, I started Fat Thumb Originals after I lost my mom to breast cancer. The hardest part for her was losing her hair and not really feeling comfortable wearing wigs or turbans or, you know, all the things that are available right now out there. And she had a hard time wearing the hats because she lived in South Texas, and where it gets to be 100 degrees during the summertime. So, mm-hmm. You know, knitted hats are kind of a little hot to be wearing around. So after I lost her, I decided to go out and just try to design the perfect hat for chemotherapy patients. And then that's when I thought there is nothing more comfortable than the T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at first I sewed the hats because I thought, you know, I could just sew a hat and it would be a lot easier. But then I realized with two small children, I cannot take a sewing machine with me everywhere. And these sewed hats fall off their heads if they're a real restless sleeper. By knitting the hats, I can take them with me everywhere to constantly work on them. And they stay on people's heads when they sleep.
Oh, that's nice. And your mother-in-law helped you with teaching you how to knit. Is that correct?
My mother-in-law taught me how to crochet.
Basic
steps of crochet. And then I wanted to teach myself how to knit. And I went out there and I bought all the popular books, you know, to teach you how to knit. And they were all very confusing to me and mm-hmm. difficult to follow. So I found a book. I can't remember the name of it right now, but I found a book geared for 12-year-olds.
Oh.
And that's how I taught myself how to knit. And the way that I started designing my own knitwear was I took vintage sewing patterns. And since I was teaching myself how to increase and decrease, I would actually follow the patterns on the sewing patterns and then stitch them together. Because I found that I didn't really care for the knitting patterns that were out there. And then after, you know, a year or two, I don't know. It's just something came over me, and I just started designing my own stuff, and I just loved it. So that's how that came about.
So is this unique way of knitting your very own, or are there other people that do this?
This is my very own. This is my very own pattern, you know, the way the material's cut. You know, each item that I make, and I have tried just about everything, but each item that I make has got to be cut at a different width, or the tabs will not be uniform. Mm-hmm. Around the item. It'll either be, you know, all lined up in a row or all on the right or all on the left. And I wanted the tabs uniform because when I first started, I was knotting the material together like everybody else out there. Everybody knots the material together, but for chemotherapy patients, it's very uncomfortable because the knots are just, you know, their scalp is so sensitive and the knots were very uncomfortable. So I started developing a way not to have knots, and that's what the tabs are. The tabs are my ends. And so one chemotherapy hat only has one knot. It's a continuous loop of material.
Oh, wow.
There are no knots on the inside of the hat. That's what the tabs are. They aren't a fashion thing. It's because it's my ends, and there's less knots in the hat, so it's very comfortable. And at first I was cutting the tabs off because I thought nobody in their right mind is going to wear a hat with tabs all over it. And I was cutting a lot of them off, and then I got a letter from a lady who is going through chemotherapy. She had breast cancer, and she said, would you mind leaving my tabs a little bit longer because it takes away from the fact that I don't have eyebrows.
Mm.
It gives me something.
Oh.
And so from then on, everything that I made had tabs, and I get letters, emails, phone calls on a daily basis now telling me how much people love these hats.
Oh.
And I want everybody in America to have one.
Do you dye your own fabric?
The chemotherapy hats, the T-shirt hats, I do. I dye my own fabric. I use Dharma dye because it's very natural and it's non-irritating. And my kitchen counter and my kitchen floor are dyed all different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think I have a piece of clothing that doesn't have dye on it. So. But I do. I dye my own colors because it's just, I don't know, it's just more personal to me. And when I give these hats to people, I write a letter about me, how I found out about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a personal thing. it's a personal journey for me. It's not just me trying to get my product out there. It's me telling them that I care about what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And this hat is made from them from absolute, pretty much scratch. I mean, if I had a recognize the material, you know, maybe, but, you know, I do. I just start with about a yard of jersey knit, 100% cotton jersey knit, combed cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And I decide what colors I'm going to do. And since I have two small children, I don't really start working until 7 o'clock. They go to bed at 7. And I'm usually awake from 7 to 12, either dyeing material or designing new stuff or doing something.
Mm-hmm. So. You donate all your chemo beanies to people that are undergoing chemotherapy, right?
Yes. They don't even have to pay for shipping. Mm-hmm. I donate about 4 dozen a month.
And how,
during Christmas, I donated 6 dozen. So it just all depends because, you know, I actually have what I call chemo emergencies. You know, I get stories from people who, you know, their coworker is just at wit's end, you know, and they start searching online for chemotherapy hats and they come across me because they type in, you know, fun hat or fun chemotherapy hat or comfortable chemotherapy hat. And I mean, I will drop everything that I'm doing and I will get them a hat out that day.
Oh.
I will throw something in the mail and get it out just because I don't want them to go one more day.
Yeah, you know.
I know that sounds cheesy and corny, but the sooner I can get that hat in the mail, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always have a few extra hats lying around. And yes, they do. They've never, all the hats that I've given away, I have never charged them for their first one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they will support my cause because a lot of people that I do give the hats to, it's not that they're, you know, short on funds or anything like that. It was just a pure gesture of somebody that they don't even know reaching out to them saying, oh my gosh, I so care about what you're going through, you know, and this is my art to you because I do consider it art. It is my art.
Yeah. I read that many say that your beanies, your scarves, shawls, hats, and purses, that they really are pieces of art and that some people feel you should have them in as an exhibit in a museum or a gallery. Have you ever thought of that?
Well, I was contacted not too long ago because I have a friend in Monterey, California that actually sells my wares in the street market every Tuesday
mm-hmm.
in Monterey, California. And somebody had come across, they had bought a hat and a scarf set from her and actually told her that it was an artistic thing that I was doing and that I really needed to get my stuff into an exhibit. And they actually, a museum director in the San Francisco Bay Area called. She didn't call me, she emailed me and told me that they were having this textile exhibit and they wanted me to, you know, submit my stuff and, you know, all these other things. And I was going to do that this year because my shawls are really, I mean, just very artistic because not only do you have this beautiful knit shawl, but in the fringe you can actually see the material pattern
mm-hmm.
that's flowing down underneath you. And I've gotten a lot of compliments on that. So I am looking into that and I am trying, but my life is completely just crazy right now. I'm loving it, but I'm trying to slow it down as much as I can because, like I said, I've only been in business for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get my feet planted because this is something that is I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. This is a serious thing to me, and I plan on taking this all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to just make the best judgment that I can. But what I would really love to do is get into some exhibits, you know, some breast cancer exhibits. I've been approached from, there was a lady that I ran into in Washington, D.C. She actually worked at one of the Smithsonian museums, and they have a huge breast cancer exhibit every, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. They have a big one, and she's invited me to do that, and I may do that this year and start getting into it. But that is where I would like to go with this. I would definitely like to get across to people, this is my art. This is not something that I want to mass produce. You know, I really like my designs and what I'm doing. If I'm going to mass produce anything in the future, it's going to be, I call them tea knits, and it's basically just the tie-dyed jersey in different colors. You know, I wouldn't mind doing that.
That are those hats or your dresses or what product do you do the tea knits?
Material, you know, just the material itself. Other people can knit their own fat thumb stuff
mm-hmm.
because that's something that, you know, I totally promote. I promote people getting into art and learning how to knit and and doing something creative, you know, having a creative outlet, because so many people don't. They don't think that they're capable of it. And I run into that almost daily because I knit wherever I go.
Mm-hmm.
And I run into that like, oh, I could never knit. And I'm like, are you kidding? I could teach a monkey to knit. It's so easy and it's so therapeutic. And a lot of the times I will sit there and spend an hour with somebody and say, you know what, I'm going to teach you how to knit. And I'm kind of going that direction too, you know, where I'm going to start having knitting classes for, you know, 10 years and up, because I just think it's very important
mm-hmm.
that people create. I think it's very important.
How long does it take to make a hat like yours, or maybe even a purse?
From beginning to end, on one of my original Fat Fun Chemo hats, I dye them all overnight because I really want the dye to, I mean, it takes me no time at all to dye it, but it does sit overnight, and then I ended up, you know, I wash them all to just make sure that you aren't going to stain anything if it rains or something.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I cut it up, by the time I get it out of the washing machine and dry it, by the time I cut it up and knit it, it takes me 45 minutes per hat.
Wow.
I'm very fast.
And you're doing four to six dozen a month, usually?
Month, yes.
And that's just the hats.
I make about a dozen hats a day.
Oh, wow.
That's my average. I sit down and I make a dozen hats a day. I can, you know, because I'll sit down at night from 7 to 12 and I'll make a lot of hats then, but, you know, when my daughter has gymnastics for an hour and a half, I
mm-hmm.
make a couple of hats then. When my son goes to the play school area, I make a couple of hats then. So, I mean, there's different parts of the day, but I'm able to make about a dozen hats a day.
Great.
And the purses are pretty much, since the hats are taking off, because the hat is my passion.
Yeah.
That's it. I started making the purses because I'm in an area, my husband's Air Force, we just moved here a month before Katrina hit, and I realized that I was in an area, a hatless area. These people, it is going to take years to turn them around. They look at me like I'm crazy, because, I mean, my hats, you can actually wear them year-round. They're cooler than baseball caps. In fact, my spring line this year, I'm introducing a baseball cap.
Cool.
I've been playing around with it, but I finally got the brim, and it actually has an opening in the back for a ponytail. But these people look at, I am the crazy hat lady in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. They think I've lost my mind. I might as well have a wool coat on as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it gets hot here, but I'm telling you, my hats are so great, and I try to tell people this. I try to tell them, you know, first of all, it's a t-shirt. It's just knitted. That's what's throwing people. They just see a knitted hat and they think winter.
Mm-hmm.
But my hats are so great because since they're t-shirts, guess what? In the summertime, you can get them wet in the ice chest.
Wow.
And put them on your head and let them dry. That's how I get through all the summer festivals down here in southern Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
Is I will sit there and I'll have like three hats and I will... It's just like the band around your neck. You know, I'll take a hat off, put it in the ice chest, put the other one on. And every 30 minutes, put the hat on, put the hat on. And it's just, I'm so much cooler than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just takes a while.
Yeah. Not only do you send your beanies to people that you hear of their stories going through chemo, and you can find your products on your website, but you also go to fairs and sell your items. And I've seen pictures of your booth, and that's an art in itself. Your booth is just beautiful.
I let me tell you, I am very proud of my booth because I've been doing festivals for a year and a half now, and I meet a lot of people, and they all buy their displays, and they buy the fancy hooks and the fancy tent. Everything in my booth, minus the tables
mm-hmm.
that I actually put my stuff out on, is made from me.
Wow.
It's all handmade. It's my pegboard that I've painted and put flowers all over. The tent, I don't know why in the world no one has painted their tent yet. They all have these beautiful things on the inside in this white tent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I'm thinking, what is up with you guys? And they're saying, well, what do you paint with? I'm like, fabric paint.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, how is it going to set? I said, the sun. And it's so funny because I can guarantee you around here, when March rolls around and the festivals start coming along, I can guarantee you I'm going to find other painted booths out there.
Yeah, you've started a trend.
I have started a trend, and I just love it, you know. People, my neighbors, they all think I'm nuts anyway, but, you know, when I got out there with my 10x10 Easy Ed this last summer and turned it on its side and started throwing paint on it, I thought, okay, she's lost her mind.
How many festivals do you go to a year?
Oh, gosh. Last year I went to 10.
Mm-hmm. And are they all in Mississippi?
Mississippi, Louisiana, and Florida.
Okay.
And this year, I wanted to last year, but I'm from San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
And this year, I'm really thinking I'm going to do the Starving Artist Show, which is in April. It's the first weekend in April.
Do you take your children? Are they part of it also?
They are part of it. I have a huge, my tent's all about breast cancer awareness. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. I painted a big sheet, a twin size sheet with a huge ribbon on it. And I hang it in the backdrop of my booth. And the kids come down. They don't stay with me all day, of course. I mean, mm-hmm. they're only 5 and 3. But my husband's a huge supporter. And he'll bring them down for a couple hours, maybe in the morning, then a couple hours at night. And that way, they, you know, he can help me set up and then take down. But it's wonderful because my children will actually sell. I sell breast cancer pens, my own breast cancer pen design, to raise funds for the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation. So. And I mail them a check whenever I get enough, so I don't have to make all these little baby deposits. And I support when I can. So, but yeah, the kids love selling those buttons. They know what it's all about.
That's great.
My son's 3, and he knows what it's all about. It's all about breast cancer and Nana dying, and how we're trying to save other people's lives. So,
that's nice.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
I'm sure
I love that. I'm doing that with my children, so.
Yeah, it's a nice way to carry on your mother's memory and show, you know, even though that she's not there for your children, for them to know her and see how important she was.
That's exactly right. I mean, she died when my son was 4 months old, and he still talks about her.
That's great.
So, I mean, it's very important. So, but yes, they do help.
I read something on your website about the Appetite for Living cookbook. Can you tell the listeners about that?
When I first moved here to Mississippi, I was looking for an outlet for my hats. And one of the ladies that I surprised with the hat had contacted me and told me about her hairstylist, Joanne Nicely, who is part of the Look Good, Feel Better program. That's a Susan G. Komen thing, you know. It's a counseling session at different hospitals and stuff for women to come in and basically look good and feel better. You know, it's just a support group.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady was in charge of the Look Good, Feel Better program here in Gulfport, which is a town, you know, 20 minutes down the road from here. And so the lady that I'd given the hat to came over to my house, and I gave her 2 dozen hats. And I said, take these to your friend Joanne and see if she can give them to some people through this program. That's what I would like for you to do. And she did, and Joanne called me immediately because we just needed to team up and become this reckoning force here on the Gulf Coast about breast cancer awareness. And we have just been tight, tight, tight ever since. Joanne has a little thing called the Pink Heart Fund, and basically what that is it raises funds for people that are going through cancer here on the Gulf Coast. After Katrina, a lot of people came down with just different types of cancers and stuff, and they were devastated. They didn't have anything. So Joanne put together this fund to get people not only wigs and hats, you know, my hats and things, but prostheses, you know, just anything that they needed that they couldn't afford. And that's what she does. And so we do a lot together. We do a lot of speaking around the Gulf Coast to make people aware of what we do and what's available to them here on the Gulf Coast. And that's what she does. She's written this book.
Oh, that's great.
The Appetite for Living. And it's just a book about her and her struggle. She's a breast cancer survivor, about her struggle with breast cancer, and about it's dedicated to all the friends that she's lost from cancer. And the recipes are from cancer patients, victims, and survivors, and then people who know people that have died from cancers and things like that. So we support each other. We go everywhere together. We just did a whole bunch of radio promos last week here on the Gulf Coast trying to raise funds for a 18-month-old named Tori who is battling neuroblastoma, I think. It's some kind of nervous system cancer. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what the exact name is. But her parents found out that she had this disease right after Katrina hit, and they have been at St. Jude's Hospital this entire time, this past year and a half, and they come home in 2 weeks, and they don't have anything. They lost everything with Katrina. They have land. The grandmother bought them an acre of land to put a septic tank on it, and right now we are trying to raise money to get them a small trailer to come home to. And so all of my, a portion of my sales for the entire month of February will be going to Tori and her family. So it's all about spreading the love, and I know that you read that a lot on my site, but it's really true with me. It's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't just give to cancer patients. Whenever I'm at a festival, one festival that I did, they had leukemia. There was these ladies trying to raise money for leukemia, and they were having a silent auction and things like that, and so I took them over one of my large handbags. I mean, they retail for $85 to $90. I'm like, I hope you can raise some money with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about the people with the Humane Society. I made them a whole bunch of doggy sweaters out of my Fat Thumb stuff.
That's cute. Off
because people love my stuff because they've never seen it before. I mean, it's my own design.
Mm-hmm.
And the little doggy sweater made out of T-shirt material with all these little tabs over it, it's just cute as can be. Mm-hmm. It's a matching leash. And so, of course, they're going to get money for it, for their you know, their cause and things like that. And that's just what I do.
Wow.
Because it's just, it makes me feel good. It's my passion. I love what I do. I'm 40 years old, and last year I found out I was an artist. And it's the most wonderful thing ever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't ever get to that point. I'm very, very fortunate. And I'm fortunate that I'm in a position, you know, my husband's an Air Force officer, and mm-hmm. I'm in a position to have a voice and to follow my dream.
That's
a lot of
great.
People aren't as lucky,
yeah.
You know?
Well, you can be their inspiration.
Yeah.
And show them it's not.
I can be their friend.
Yeah.
I'm everybody's friend, you know, so.
That's great. And yeah. you make it sound so easy. I mean, I have tried to knit so many times and crochet. Just made myself think, I'm going to do it. I can't do it. I don't know, but maybe I'll pick up a children's book.
Tiffany, there are no books out there. I've this is another thing that I'm taking too. I was approached last year by a publishing house, a crafting publishing house, to see if I was interested. And of course I told them I was interested because I really want to put a book out there that not only with my patterns and my designs, but I want to teach people how to knit the easy way, and I want to teach people about me and what I'm doing. I want a little bit of everything. You know, I don't want just a craft book thrown out there. And they sent me this 9-page proposal, which, you know, guess what? I'm an artist. I am not a technical writer.
Mm-hmm.
And to sit there and think that I'm going to have to go out there and find my market and my sales and all of these, I was just like, okay, well, this is going to take too much time. You know, this is going to be just like a form I fill out. And, so I hadn't sent it off yet. I mean, this was a year ago. And I picked up a book from the library that had just come out called Chunky Knitting or Thick Knitting. I don't remember. It was some kind of knitting book. But they had in there fabric knitting, and they had in there that they cut their material the same way that I did.
Mm.
This has been a year.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, you know, it's no big deal. It's no big secret. And of course, their stuff didn't look the same, but I wrote the publisher just a couple of days ago saying, you know, I really enjoyed your book. I'm glad that you're bringing fabric knitting out so people can start doing it. It's really a great thing and all this other stuff. And I told her that, you know, the patterns weren't the greatest, but to please give me a call because, I mean, I really know that we can work together and do something.
Yeah.
But it's just such hard work, you know. I've asked a lot of MySpace friends that are in the publishing field. I said, is there any way to get published without having to go through all this? Because, I mean, a nine-page proposal, you're talking about months of research.
Yeah.
And I don't have that time, you know, because especially the more, you know, popular my company gets, I mean, it's just, it's never ending, so.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this year has just been a whirlwind since January 1st. You know, there's been promos, there's been, you know, all kinds of things going on. But I was lucky enough this year to get a hat to Oprah.
Oh, wow.
And they called a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Oprah Winfrey Show called, the producer called. And so I'm really, I'm really hoping that something goes through with that because, I mean, she's the mecca of all media of getting anybody's word out there. So I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed on that one to see where it goes.
She's so amazing.
She is amazing.
She's,
you know, she's one of those people that did it.
Yeah.
And she did it, and she did it by spreading the love because she was able to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
All people, you know, so.
Well, this is going to be an exciting year for you, Michelle, and I can't wait.
It is going to be a big year for me, so I can feel it.
Cool.
I can feel it.
Well, thank you.
It was so nice meeting you.
Yes, and thank you for your time and explaining your work. Would you mind giving me a pirate R for Pirate Pods? Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
People of the world, join hands, ride the love train.